This is a CBC podcast. With Concerts On Demand, you can enjoy performances from acts like Tegan and Sarah, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, and the Peggy Lee Band whenever you want. Find your favorites at cbc.ca/radio2/COD.
Lots of reaction, Nancy, to your interview yesterday with DFO research scientist Jerry Payne. His research downplayed the long-term impact of large oil spills in the offshore. In a moment, we'll hear from Professor Bill Monavecchi, who's live in the studio with me this morning. But first, here are some morning lines.
Vimala Chinaya. I couldn't believe what I heard because I'm sure fish like pelagics that swim on the surface, like salmon, capelin, mackerel, will be affected. The way I heard it, I thought he was speaking for the oil industry, as a spokesman for the oil industry.
Hi, Jeff. It's Kenneth King, Fox Harbor, Placentia Bay. I remember that the American naval station in Argentia had an oil spill back in 1972. It was Bunker C. I know it's a much thicker, much heavier oil, rather than this light crude that floats to the surface from the inner earth. Also, that stuff can be seen on the beach today. All you have to do is pick it up, put it in a bucket, hold it over the fire, and you can pour the oil out. The stuff is deadly. No one knows all the effects of this, and I'm sure our fisheries will be the one that will suffer in the future. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you for those calls. Just to be clear, Dr. Payne did clearly say the impact on wildlife of an oil spill would be much more significant in a bay like Placentia Bay than it would in the open offshore. Nevertheless, Memorial University Professor Bill Monavecchi has additional concerns about what Dr. Payne was saying, and he's in the studio. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, you're certainly welcome.
What caught your ear in that interview?
Well, I just want to go right to that issue. I think we would always think it might be more significant in Placentia Bay because we can see it. And I think essentially we have no idea what's happening in the offshore. The edge of the Grand Bank is the richest, one of the richest areas in the world for seabirds. Our cod are there, our capelin are there. That's where our oil rigs are. So I think, as we've gone so far, we actually have no evidence. We have no evidence about what's happening in the offshore. And that lack of evidence is taken as no worries. I think that's what Dr. Payne, reinforces that kind of view. I mean, it's kind of a Titanic perspective,
How do you mean? What do you mean by Titanic?
Well, no worries. Nothing can go wrong. The ship can't sink, And we have to have a better, ratcheted up perspective. The Premier, Lorraine Michel, talked about it yesterday. We have to do that to be credible and, to move ahead. And right now, we don't have that. We just don't have that kind of regulatory protection from the CNLOPB. It's just not there.
Is there any research? Do you have any research that actually shows that a species out there has suffered long-term population decline because of an oil spill?
I think there's really lots of information like that. Let me just give you one. Maybe this puts it in perspective because we always get that question, and this will sound maybe a little bit outrageous, but just think about some of the incredible human devastation that we've had with, just think about places like Hiroshima. Now, let's just take the question away from seabirds or cod, and let's think about Hiroshima, and let's ask the same question, have there been any long-term effects? Have there been any population effects? Do we see, what do we see? Well, we know there are traumatic consequences for loads of people. We know that. What do we see in terms of population? I'm not sure if we were doing a population count or regulation, you might see some little local effect, and it's gone after 40 years. So I don't, I just don't even buy into that argument. I think because we're there, we have to be responsible for it. And yes, I think there are long-term effects of these things, and I think there are short-term effects, and I think we're just not paying attention to them because we don't have the proper regulation.
Let's talk about that. All of this now has been triggered by the situation off Louisiana. It may be on your mind long before that, but nevertheless, it's in the world media now, caused by the explosion and sinking of that oil rig. You wanted to make a larger point, an engineering point to some degree.
Well, that's right. I think that's also part, you know, really part of misinformation that's going on right now, Jeff. We're referring to this as an accident, and in fact, it's not. This is really the precautionary principle, and to me, this is the essence of it. There was a blowout in the well in Louisiana, off in the Gulf of Mexico there. There's a blowout backup. There's only one time ever a blowout backup should work. That's when there's a blowout. It didn't work. That's not an accident. That's an error. That's the precautionary principle that we have to be focused on. And we had the assurances from BP, British Petroleum, that this wouldn't happen. And I want to point out, we have the same assurances right now, as the Orphan Basin well, you know, it's in the process. There's a rig on its way to the Orphan Basin right
this
now.
It's a Chevron drill, very deep.
That's right. Well, it's 2.6 kilometers before the drill bit hits the ocean floor. It's not in the warm water of the Gulf of Mexico. It's 430 kilometers northeast of Newfoundland in the North Atlantic and Iceberg Alley. 2.6 kilometers. It's an engineering marvel. There's no question about it. But for us to be sure, to have that backup that, you know, there's not going to be any muck-ups, and to have that perspective that offshore is incredibly important for us, for our ecosystem, we have to have both of those.
CNL OPB is saying the standards we have are stricter than the ones operating in the Gulf. They have more systems of redundancy, as engineers like to say. We have greater inventory here to control a spill should one occur. Does that ease your mind at all?
You know, you always want to have your mind eased, but let's just talk about the CNL OPB. For 10 years, we've been asking them to put independent observers on platforms, and they would prefer to not have the information than to have independent observers. We put independent observers on fisheries boats because we don't ask fishermen how many fish they caught. Did you go over the quota? Well, the CNL OPB knows this. They've known it from day one before Hibernia even came online, and they don't do it. They allow self-regulation and regulation by, you know, essentially a lobby group that calls itself the CNL OPB. It's a corporate biased, you know, lobby group that's working in the interest of oil, which can be in our interest, but it has, you know, the environment has to be the bigger interest for all of us.
Are you suggesting that this the Chevron drill, which in my understanding is on its way out there, should be halted, should be delayed pending the outcome of the investigation into what happened in the Gulf?
I think so. You know, and I think if Premier Williams is serious, and he certainly sounds serious.
He did yesterday in the House.
Sure. Yvonne Jones, Lorraine Michel. We're 3,000 feet deeper than what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico, 3,000 feet deeper, and we're about to charge ahead and assume that we have a safety, a safety regime in place that's adequate, when in fact we've never had an independent observer on a platform in all the years it's been happening. So there has to be a rethink, and there really has to be a recommitment to the environment to do this properly, and I think that's what everybody wants to do. But we really have to step up to the plate to do it. We're not there.
All right. Appreciate you coming in this morning. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Bill Monavecchi, seabird expert and Morrill University professor. Your thoughts on that, 576-5259. That's our morning line number. Or toll-free, 1-866-576-5259. Or you can email us as well, morningshow@stjohns.cbc.ca.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.